Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. Of course, my name is Will. And as always with me, my partner, Ben.
Hello.
And this, of course, we are going over week 7. Was it week 7 or week 6?
Week 6.
Week 6 of the NFL today. We're going to cover a few of the games from Sunday, but I really want to talk about these Monday night games. Sorry, I don't know about you, but these Monday night games were way more interesting and way more telling than the Sunday night games could have ever been. But
The Monday night games were definitely very intense. I enjoyed watching them.
Completely agree, sir. Those were nice games. But we're going to start off today talking about how trash I feel the Broncos and the Jets are as a collective. I think they are the collective garbage that holds up most of what you don't want in the NFL, okay? Like, that game was so horrible. Do you understand that Justin Fields had 45 passing yards in that game, sir? I've never seen such a stat line. Never. You know, I just recently started watching the NFL probably a few years ago. So maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, have you ever seen a quarterback only throw 45?
Not a quarterback. I don't believe that started a game and played the full game. I do not believe so. If it has happened, it's been very, very few times. And this, in the modern era, absolutely not.
I would want to say that this was a defensive game. But it wasn't just defense, sir. Like that was a horrible offensive showing by both sides. It wasn't Jets. The Bo Nix did horrible too. And J.K. Dobbins, nobody even remotely touched their overs. If you would have bet everybody on both sides to have under for offense, you would have been a millionaire. Do you understand me? A millionaire. Do you understand that parlay? I don't get it. I don't get it, sir.
Nobody would have expected Justin Fields to play the way he did. You know, I could have understood maybe about 120 yards maybe for him through the air. You know, and even his numbers on the ground, 7 for 31 is realistic. But 31 total rush attempts by the Jets for 92 yards. They averaged just under 3 yards on the ground as a team, only to have that as a better average than Justin Fields' passing game. His passing average was 2.65, whereas the team's rushing average was 2.97. His rushing average as a person was higher, was double almost what his passing average was. That's nearly incomprehensible. To see him rushing, yes. Running 7 times, Justin Fields through and through. To see him pass the ball 17 times, possibly. I will say this. Garrett Wilson, of course, did not have much of a game. And I can't sit here and say that, you know.
Man had 40 yards, I think.
Garrett Wilson,
I cannot support this game, sir.
No, by no means. Honestly, this game is just, you know what this reminds me of?
Pee-wee vintage football?
Russell Wilson in Denver on Thursday Night Football or Monday Night Football?
The accuracy. I understand. This was like a horrible showing. And let me be clear, I'm way more mad that like six of my parlays failed because this game was so trash. Like, I had basic stuff in, sir. I had J.K. Dobbins for like 60 yards rushing. 60, that's it. Failure.
It's like, kind of... It wasn't a defensive game.
I had Dobbins for 60. I think I had Wilson for 50. Like, I didn't take anything crazy in this game. And all in all, they all did horribly. I don't like it at all. And I do not think that the Broncos and the Jets deserve to be called a team anymore. I don't care. It's not like it was a defensive game. It's not like we had a defensive showing out. There was none of that. That was all horrible play. All of it.
I mean, at this point, the Jets need to call it a wrap on their season. They're 0-6. I mean, losing to the Broncos at this point is it's just their season's over. There's no other way around it. Justin Fields has been absolutely abysmal in so many ways.
I don't even get that. Like, I'm not saying that he was like spectacular last year, but he was better than this.
What happened? It's the team. I truly believe it's the team he's on.
But the Jets were good last year with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets weren't slouches. They had some good showings on a regular basis up under Rodgers.
The biggest problem with, I think, the Jets under Justin Fields is, one, they lost their footing quickly. They haven't got a win yet. Justin Fields had that concussion. He was out a couple weeks, and that offensive line has been not the best. He's been forced to run a lot. He's done okay, but Justin Fields is kind of the only person on the team right now that seems like he's doing much of anything. Garrett Wilson can only do so much. And when I look at the rushing game there, you just see, you know, Breece Hall, he used to, like last year, he was really good. The year before, really good. This year, it seems like he's had a bit of a fall off. And I don't know if it's just because of how things are going, the situations they get themselves into. But I definitely believe that there's some issues there that needs to be addressed when it comes to play calling, decision making. They need to work on Justin Fields being able to make good reads, make sure that he's not forcing the ball into coverage. Justin Fields has never been an elite passer ever. In Chicago, people loved him because he would run. You know, he was fast, he was mobile. Boom, 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 there he goes. So I think in reality, when I look at a quarterback like Justin Fields, I see a quarterback who skated through because of the world of scrambling that we live in now. Should this be a time where the league ever goes back to pocket passer orientated quarterback system, I think we'll see a decline in players being on teams, starting for teams that are of a Justin Fields style. He just never established his arm, in my opinion. Anytime he ever did, it always backfired.
I agree, sir. This game was horrible, and I'm not going to keep on reiterating that, except for to say that this game was horrible. And I don't like it. That started off my Sunday horribly. I actually woke up for this game. Really? All right. Moving on. Go ahead, sir.
Say there is no excitement for either one of them teams for me.
Nope. I was excited about the Broncos. I'm not gonna lie to you. The Broncos, until today, the Broncos actually were doing some things. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, can't count the Broncos out necessarily. They're 4-2,
sir. I'm not going to count the Broncos out. I'm saying up until today, they gave me nothing not to like.
Okay.
Nothing. I was completely fine with everything. And what happened against the Jets, sir? It's not like they went up against the Lions and got shut down like that. Statistically weaker team. And still performed horribly.
Well, outside of the game against the Bengals in week 4, a vast majority of their games have been very close. Week 1, they won 20-12 against the Titans, but I mean, that was an 8-point game. And of course, that's week 1. I don't ever really count those scores entirely. Week 2, they lost 29-28 to the Colts. Week 3, 23-20 against the Chargers. I mean, so they were 1-2 in those first 3 weeks, and they went on a three win streak right now. 28-3 against the Bengals is not crazy because, well, the Bengals are in a very, very bad spot. They beat the Eagles 21-17. You know, that's a very close game. That's a field goal game right there. They beat the Eagles 13-11. I mean, theoretically, they did exactly what they needed to do to get the win. They may not get the good win, but they got the win, and that's what they've been doing all year. They either are getting the win or they're barely losing. So they're right there on the edge of greatness, but also on the edge of failure. They love riding that line, it seems like. And you know what? I say if it works for them, if they can do this consistently, let them at it. I mean, they beat the reigning Super Bowl champs.
No team can do that consistently, sir. It's exactly what Kansas City did last year. But eventually, it's going to fall.
I don't disagree.
But we're going to move on into one of the more funny games, I think. How did the Cowboys lose to the Panthers, sir? I need some explanation. Dak, I've been praising you this whole time. The whole time I'd have been giving you your props. How did you drop to the Panthers? Now, everybody knows I love my Panthers. I do not count them out of anything. But I counted them out of this game. Why did the Panthers win this game?
There is one very important reason. One very, very critical reason on both sides, for both teams. One, for Dallas, they could not get the rush. They ran 19 times for 31 yards as a team. Absolutely insane. That is not a recipe for success, especially when your quarterback is throwing 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's not being sacked. He is throwing 261 yards. He's 25 of 34. It's the rushing game. That's really what it boils down to for them. Then for the defense.
Dallas tore him up.
The defense, yeah, Carolina got after it, but really Dallas's defense was terrible. They could not stop Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle is an absolute, for no touchdowns, it doesn't change much. They still won. 30 runs for 183 yards, sir. Rico Dowdle is on a tear. Chuba Hubbard is not coming back as the starter. I absolutely refuse to believe Chuba's going to be the starter after this. Or if he is listed as number one, there's no way Dowdle isn't carrying the share of the work, if not more so. Rico Dowdle has been on fire since he took over due to Chuba's injury. Absolutely impressive. He was great in the air as well. Actually led the team in yardage. He got a receiving touchdown.
239.
I mean,
239 yards, sir.
Yes, sir.
Crazy. And this is not the battle that we had on the Cowboys.
No.
Let's be clear.
No. The only problem, of course, Dowdle did have that fumble. Dowdle, I believe, had a fumble. Was it the game against the Dolphins that he had a fumble as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he does need to work on his hands a little bit. It seems like there might be a bit of a problem there. But
he is the problem at this point in my life.
They got no.
What was that?
They got no interceptions on Dallas. They got no sacks. They honestly did not get a lot of tackles. They didn't have a single field, or I'm sorry, they did have a field goal. They had 3 for 3 on field goals. Fitzgerald had himself a little game, but this was a game that should have never went the way that it did. Kind of makes me mad that the Packers couldn't win the game against Dallas when it mattered, whenever Carolina comes in and does it. But regardless, I just look at the Cowboys and I look at a team who has all the pieces except for one or two. Losing Micah Parsons, I think, did more damage than the Cowboys realized and anybody realized, because I've never seen a team completely fall apart and be unable to perform, even when they put themselves in the best position to do it. It didn't help that they had a couple of fumbles. But, I mean, Dallas has something going on. George Pickens had a phenomenal game, yet they still lost. Granted, they lost by a field goal. But why? Why? And it goes back to the running game. This is what I expected from Javonte Williams the entire season. So let me clarify, this game is exactly what I expected Javonte Williams to do all year. I'm shocked it took this long for him to have one of these games like this. He's not, in my opinion, an elite running back. However, would I say that he's worth a fantasy football pickup or a parlay, or put a leg on a parlay? Sure. But in a game like this, this is what I think of when I think of Javonte Williams, the running back for Dallas. This is what I think of, and he did exactly what he had to do to help Carolina win this game. But at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how this really truly went down. No matter what you watch and look at and analyze, you look at this and you think, I don't understand what is going on with Dallas. I think that is one of the biggest questions on everyone's mind right now, is what is happening in Dallas. And it's not just the players. You know, what is happening with the coaching staff? What is happening with Jerry Jones? Jerry Jones land is clearly getting more and more delusional by the day, because something is wrong here. Something is incredibly wrong. And it's almost like nobody wants to speak out about it. And I'll leave it back to you.
I think Dallas's entire problem is they need a whole refresh. Throw the entire team away. Throw it all away. Reset, including the owner. Let's go ahead and get rid of him too. Throw him in big hefty. Put him out the pasture. And then build a new team. It's the only way that we're going to get out of this slump, honestly. Because there's clearly a lack of anything substantial coming out of Dallas right now. And I'm sick of seeing it. I know Dallas fans are surely sick of seeing it. I know they're sick of seeing losers in their WL columns. So let's go ahead and get rid of it. Let's throw them away. Mm-hmm. We'll come into another day.
Agreed.
All right, sir. We're going to move on to another game. Another game that I personally liked watching. Baker Mayfield is the most elite quarterback that is not talked about. That man, even though Mac Jones once again had a very nice game at QB, he threw two interceptions, but we're not going to talk about that. The man still threw for 347 yards. It's impressive, to say the least.
But it's his first bad game.
Yeah. He did amazing to me, and I'm not going to take it away from him.
No.
We're not going to talk about the intros, but we are going to say, shape up, my guy. Shape up.
Indeed.
But back to Baker. Baker Mayfield is so slept on as a quarterback, and we should definitely be talking about him in the higher up echelons of quarterbacks right now. In my opinion.
I think the thing that people don't think about when they think about Baker, or maybe it's what they do think about, it's the problem that Cleveland gives every quarterback. Cleveland ruins quarterbacks. The legacy that they get in Cleveland follows them. it's like he's always fighting his history in the league, really. But I mean, Baker he's such a good quarterback, and he makes it work with anything he's given, any receiver, anytime, anywhere. You know, you take a receiver away, you take one or two or three receivers away, next man up, Baker makes it happen. I respect Baker's his determination and his motivation to really hustle. And I think that is the biggest thing about him. It doesn't matter if he has a bad game or not. He gets after it. And he throws a pick. Oh, well, on to the next. Baker is definitely, like you said, a slept on quarterback. But I think not only is he slept on, I think they just write him off as, okay, well, Baker's Baker. You know, he'll do good for a while, and then eventually he'll fall apart.
That man is a true menace. I'm not going to lie to you. He's shown time and time again why you really can't sleep on the Buccaneers. You can't, in no way, shape, or form. And with this last performance, I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about the Buccaneers in the playoffs.
I just want to point out that he did not have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin in this game.
I noticed.
That's
my thing. Can we say that without Amon-Ra, Sam Laporta, and Jameson Williams, let's go ahead and cancel him out too. But honestly, without Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta, Jameson Williams won't be able to do anything. Well, can we say that Jared Goff could do the same thing without his star players around him?
I know Lamar. I certainly think that Jared Goff is capable to an extent. I think, though, that once the pressure is on, I think that's what cost them last year. When the pressure got to be a bit too much, they weren't able to.
Once again, I rest my case. I know Lamar can't. When the pressure's on Lamar, he crumbles. He crumbles like good fish. Just all in your hand. Melts like butter. I don't understand it. But that's a conversation for another day.
Indeed.
Back to Baker. I love it. I love it. I love watching the Buccaneers play. It's an all-around good time to watch. And I hope they keep it up. We might just be talking about the Buccaneers and a special highlight for the playoffs this year.
I could see the Bucs taking it if I feel like there's still some things that need to go really right for them. Just because I don't know if it's their defense or if it's their offense. I mean, their defense does really well. There's just something. I can't put my finger on it, but there is something that's missing from the Bucs. It might be their offensive line. They've had a rough time this year with it. I've watched a lot of the games where it's just Baker's having to scramble to, you know, to stay afloat. I think that might be part of it. They need the running game to be consistent, but I can't quite put my finger on what the problem is, but I do believe they could take it. They could win it all. I think it's just going to require something, if not the offensive line being completely fixed up and good to go and healthy. It's going to take a little something, maybe getting the receiving core back to full strength, because the playoffs are going to be hard. And if you're struggling at this point of the season to keep your team healthy, it's not good. it's not a good thing when it comes to playoff time to have, you know, a couple of your main offensive weapons out. And as a quarterback that is spending a lot of time running on for his life or on the ground, no matter how good you are, it will catch up. And that is my biggest concern for Baker and Tampa is that right there. So while I do see them being able to win it all, I do think they need to fix up a few things, but there's something there that's missing.
Agreed, sir. I want to move on into the Sunday night game. I guess we understand why the Lions were the underdog in this one. I was questioning in the last episode, but they kind of showed exactly why. The Chiefs definitely showed out on their heads. There was really no answer for it. Even though they got their touchdowns, you know, they got a couple of touchdowns in there. It just wasn't enough. The Chiefs overpowered them. Whereas the Chiefs haven't been able to overpower anyone this season. And they overpowered the Bullies.
Let's be clear that this game was very much a close game at the end of the first half. I preach that games are won in the second half for good cause. And the Chiefs were just the better team in the second half. They put up 17 of their 30 points. So over 50% of their points was put up in the second quarter, and their defense played better and held the Lions. Jared Goff did his job. The problem wasn't really their offense. Jahmyr Gibbs did his job. Jameson Williams did his job. Everybody offensively did their job to do enough to really try to win the game. The problem was just the Chiefs' defense was better, and Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things. That man had four touchdowns, three through the air and one on the ground. I'm not going to knock the Lions' defense by any stretch, but like they did not do enough.
They got some work to do. If Mahomes can make it through, anybody can, all right? They got some work to do. Mahomes is definitely a mobile quarterback, and nobody's taking it from him. But when they don't have to use their running backs to get in there, you got some work to do. Whether it be the cornerbacks, the offensive, the defensive line, regardless of however you want to look at it, there's some holes there, and the Chiefs exposed it completely. And I know you say it was close in the first half. I disagree. The Lions had one touchdown to the Chiefs. I mean, to the Chiefs two. And the Lions had a field goal in that one. And then the only difference between the third and fourth quarter was the third quarter, they only had one touchdown. Fourth quarter, they got a touchdown and a field goal. So technically in both halves, they got two touchdowns. And one field goal is the difference between each half. So I don't think it was close at all. I think the Chiefs kept them exactly where they needed to and then scored when it mattered, like they always do. I think the Chiefs knew exactly what they were doing. The Lions have some work to do. They knew that they could expose something, and that's exactly what they did.
I agree.
If we're going to look at the Chiefs season this year, I mean, there's no reason why they should have dominated the Lions the way that they did, but they did. I mean, the Chiefs literally just came off a loss to the Jaguars. So the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence danced all over the backfield on them.
Well, let's be clear on something here. And as much as I don't like the Chiefs, I want to point something out. So, week one, they lost to the Chargers, 21-27.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fairly close game in the end. They lost to the Eagles 20-17. Close game. Blew out the Giants back before the Giants found their footing. Torched the Ravens. And then lost by three again to the Jaguars. And then they came in and pretty much dusted up the Lions. So the Chiefs are a team that are trying to find their footing. They're not a team that's trying to find what they need to do to find a way to fix things. They need to, they're, Patrick Mahomes is trying to figure out how to continue using what he has and make it as effective as possible. So the Chiefs are not, they're not bad. Their score lines show that. Yes, they won against some weaker teams. Now they've played the Lions. Now they've shown that, okay, they're capable of beating a competitive team. This is where I think we may see the turnaround of the Chiefs. Because every game, if you watch, every game, win or loss, they were finding their footing. They were finding what worked. And they were finding what they needed to do to get the wins. And now that they've started to figure this out with all of the struggles that they do have, I think this is where they begin to turn around. They have a couple more weeks to go before they hit their bye. I think they'll beat the Raiders. I think they'll beat the Commanders. And depending how the Bills are performing by week 9, I think they could potentially beat the Bills. Although I think the Bills will turn it around and figure some things out. But we'll get into them here in a minute. Week 10, they'll get a bye week. And I think we'll find out just how ready they are for the second half of the season, where they get into the deep stretch. And either they're put together by then and they're ready for the second half of the year to make a push for the playoffs, or they fall on their face and they fail miserably.
Completely agreed, sir. I'm not here for the disagreements on that, because the Chiefs are, like I've always said, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I may down talk them all I want to, but I'll also say that the Chiefs are the Chiefs. And as long as they are that, as long as they always have their puzzle pieces that they had during this whole stretch, I'll never count them out. There's no need for it. Betting against them is stupid. But
indeed,
I will say, I don't like their season this year, but I didn't like their season last year, and I think they went like 14-0 or something like that. But I didn't like the way that they put together all those. Me personally. So I'm gonna stay the person that I am with the Chiefs. Love to see it, but I'm not impressed by any imagination.
I'm with you.
Moving on, we're going to get into these Monday night games, sir. The Bills just dropped to the Falcons.
So,
I think we said this already. We got to figure out what's going on with the Bills. Like, we need to get into the locker room. Because this isn't like an offense or a defense thing. Because I feel like they have the top ones in the league. If you're not looking at the stats, just looking at, you know, history all over. They have the top, one of the top offenses in the league, and you can argue one of the top defenses in the league. Why are they not performing like that? I need to be a fly on the wall in that locker room.
So I watched that game last night. That was a very, very challenging game for Buffalo. They struggled offensively. They did not really get James Cook going. They were not – Josh Allen looked like he was struggling just to find good receivers being open. He did not look like his normal self. I think that when I look at what happened with that game, I think that it wasn't – the Falcons just came to play. Bijan had a phenomenal breakout run. Drake London had himself a great night. Michael Penix is starting to look like a really, really good quarterback. But let's be entirely clear. This was a Bills defense that did not look like they were put together at all. They looked very rough. They barely got after Michael Penix. He spent a lot of time comfortably in the pocket. He can move as needed. He was able to do exactly what he needed to do to orchestrate some really good drives. But let's also be clear, the second half, the Falcons did not play very well. Their defense did, but their offense did not. They did not give their defense any breathing room. It was ultimately the work of the defense that secured that win. And ultimately, the Falcons won a game that I think most people would have said they should have never won. But I think they were just the better team coming into this one. The Chiefs looked like they didn't know what direction they were headed. When they did get James Cook going, he was hard to stop. But it's a little too late, you know, when you're in the second half and you're down like they were. And you have a very limited amount of time and you can only run so much. And then when they did do that, you know, they didn't do it enough. So when it came down to it, you know, Josh Allen was having to pass. That defense, man, Atlanta's defense was going ham, and they were not a top defense by any stretch. I see Nani Mata's name in there. I heard it too many times. He was in there breaking up all sorts of plays. He was in there pressuring Josh Allen. He was getting after him. And, I mean, it wasn't just him. That entire defense was just throwing pressure like crazy at him. And it's very much a good outing by Atlanta. They were at home against a team like that just – they have been struggling. But here's the other thing I want to say that might be in favor of the Bills. I don't know if you watched that game, but there were a lot of injuries in the first half. The medical tent was
– Yes, sir.
Going
they had
crazy.
They had an entire drive where I think about three of them got injured, and then Josh Allen almost got injured. Like, just in one drive.
Yeah.
I watched the game, sir. I was watching very closely because my first two touchdown scores in that game actually hit. Dawson Knox and Tyler Algiers, I had them both.
Yep.
And I was watching very closely, and I saw all the I saw all the mistakes. I saw all the craziness that went on. It's just, I don't know. We were talking so highly about the Bills at the beginning of this year. The Bills were supposed to be that team. I know for a fact, I remember you specifically saying the Bills for the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to sit here and still change my mind on it. I still think there's plenty of time for them to do this. This is only their second loss, sir.
It's not about time, sir. It's about performance. It's about, can they do it?
I think they can. I think they're still capable of it, sir.
Copy that. I'm gonna let you stick to your guns, but all I'm saying is, right now, I'm not saying it. They've dropped more games to sucky teams than anybody else. There's no reason why Penix looked like an all-star out there. Drake London looked like the best receiver out there. Like, I don't understand that. Once again,
I'm just saying he's not.
So I can know what's going on.
I'm just saying the Bills aren't slouches, even though they lost this game. It's not just because of their inability to, like, keep themselves healthy. They lost it because they played bad. But I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to play bad all year.
All right. I'm once again, I got faith in the Bills just like you do. I'm just curious. I would like to know what the problem is. Maybe I could come in and help, you know?
Right.
I will definitely run up and down those sidelines.
I think the biggest thing that they need to work on, honestly, is getting the receiving core on the same page, getting Josh Allen to a position where he can get those open looks that he needs. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Agreed. I think they got some work to do, and once they do it, if they do it, they're all good. not going to long talk it on the Bills just because the Bills are still the Bills. Yeah, I can't deny much. All right. Well, sir, we're going to get into our last game of the week six with the Bears. I told you, it's something about those Bears. Those Bears do numbers. And I don't care what anybody says. Caleb Williams is elite. He's elite when he wants to be elite. And for a game where it was really back and forth, coming down to the wire, usually when games come down to the wire, I have a lot of faults with it. I have no faults with this performance from the Bears. No faults. It wasn't like they were trying to hold each other to a certain extent or anything. Like, this was all defense and then all offense. Neither one of them slouched up, and the Bears came out victorious for a reason.
I agree with you.
I love it. I love to see it. Caleb Williams is starting to show his actual colors, because he did not show them last year. I would not have spoke about the Bears like this last year ever in my life. But this year, the Bears are showing me something a little bit different, and I like it. If we're looking at stats, I mean, Caleb Williams is giving you what you want. 250, 17 for 29 with a running touchdown and a passing. He scored the first touchdown of that game, sir.
Indeed.
They kept stopping him in the red zone, but Caleb said, you know what? We're done. I'm getting it in there.
Well, the Bears performed and did exactly what they needed to do in that game.
I completely agree. DeAndre Swift had him a night. He kind of started coming up out of nowhere, though. He started off real slow. But at the end of it, 108 yards rushing, 67 yards catching. He had the most receiving and rushing yards in that game. He he had a touchdown towards the end of it. Once again, the Bears are nothing to be played with at all. I'd put them up against a lot of these teams, and they would succeed. And if we're looking at their their games coming up, I mean, Saints domination, Ravens, if they don't get anybody back, if they're not back healthy the way that they're supposed to be, domination. Bengals, domination. The Giants, now they might have a little bit of problem. You know, the Giants are looking at their foot, they're getting their footing. We're going to see where they at within the next few games, but there might be a problem. The Ravens still might too, but you know, that's only if they have who they need. And then we keep going, sir. The only real games in the next four, five that could give them a problem is the Giants. The Vikings, I mean, it's a 50-50, but I'll take the Bears over the Vikings every day, all day.
I agree.
I like Justin Jefferson. He's still pretty cool. But right now, the Vikings are not what they need to be. So the way I see it is, the Bears have the strongest chance of dominating so many of these teams. So many. Like, if we start counting them down, they're done. These teams are done. And the Bears are going to start dominating. We're going to be talking about the Bears highly in these playoffs too. But they're going to be talking about the Bears in the playoffs.
No. They're not passing the Lions and the Packers. No.
We're going to be talking about the Bears.
Okay. You might be a little delusional in this one, but okay.
I usually am. Let's be clear. My picks don't always come through when it comes to these futures, because everything could happen. Anything could happen. But let me be clear. If we were to take the Packers' performance this year, right now, up against the Bears' performance, do you think your Packers are standing up?
Yes.
And we're not talking about, like, we're talking about past history. Let's look at the games real quick and how they've actually played them. You think your Packers are standing up? Because they lost to the Browns. Yes.
Sir, it doesn't matter. Green Bay's had rough seasons, and we have still always owned Chicago.
I'm just saying we might be talking about something different this year. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree, but who knows?
Oh, we will know. We will know, because I'm going to put put the Bears in my playoff futures. We're going to go ahead and lock them in.
I say take your bet, sir. Take your bet.
All right. We're going to touch on just a little bit of the MLB right now. The Brewers are beating my Dodgers 1-0, top of the second. I don't see the Dodgers losing this series. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
That right now, they're the team to beat. Right, like, okay, let's take out the chance of there being some lucky stuff happening and the Brewers and the Blue Jays actually win their series. If we're going to lump the Dodgers and the Mariners together, I don't see the Mariners beating the Dodgers. The pitching is better over here. The hitting's better over here. Technically, you know, if the Dodgers are playing the way that they're supposed to, then the hitting's 10 times better as well. I just don't see the Mariners winning. I think we're talking about a Dodgers repeat this year. It's only a couple of more teams to beat.
If the Dodgers repeat, I would be amazed. I mean, but to be fair, they've earned their way to this point. I think it would be...
They have. I was down talking to Dodgers too, sir. They're my team, and I was saying that they weren't actually going to get this far. They might not get there. I said that. But let's be clear. Every win that they done got, it's hard fought. They done earned it every step of the way. And right now, if we're talking about who can do what, sir, we're talking about a Dodger domination straight to the World Series. And then whoever we face, whether it be the Blue Jays or the Mariners, neither team has what it takes to beat us in a full series. Maybe in a couple of games, but not a full series.
Well, I think we will find out. I think we got to see how this series goes first.
I can take it. I'll take it on the chin if they lose, but I just don't see that happening.
I believe if the Dodgers win, I think they'll take the series again. However, they lose to the Brewers, I think it'd be tough. I think it'll be the Mariners, of course, and the Brewers playing at that point. It would be a toss-up. But I do believe that if that happens, I think the team that beats the Dodgers is the team that takes the World Series.
I agree, because regardless, the Brewers have what it takes to beat the Blue Jays or the Mariners. I just don't think any of these teams have what it takes to beat the Dodgers in a full five-game series. There's no way for that to happen. So what I'm going to say is the Dodgers on a repeat. Yeah, baby.
Well, you know, I'll take it. However it goes is however it goes. I'm here for it.
And right now, the Mariners are leading 2-0 against the Blue Jays. So it's looking like it's going to be the Mariners going to the World Series, as it should be. Once again, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. I'm going to go ahead and say that if we're put up against either team, we're good. We're good. Any team. They just tied the game 1-1. Teoscar Hernandez with the homer. So I just don't see anybody taking us over.
Honestly, at this point, I do think I agree with you.
World Series starts on the 24th, so I'm gonna love to see what comes next, I think.
Well, this is true. We have hockey season starting back up. We have the NBA getting ready to kick off. But although those are all exciting things, I think the World Series by far has to be one of the most entertaining aspects of all of this right now. So I'm here for it. Even my football time will dwindle a little bit in exchange for a little bit of the World Series, sir.
Copy that, sir. Well, there's really not too much to get into further. The NBA comes back next week, so we will definitely be giving y'all a full episode of Strictly Basketball, of course. But until then, Ben, you got anything else to say?
No, sir. It's been fun.
Let's get back to the bridge, y'all. Peace.